But I want you to read with me. This is the last night that I'll get to be with you until I come back from the tent meeting. As far as I know, I think this is the last one. Tomorrow we'll negotiate, and I'll have to go over to Holly Branch, and there we'll be fasting and praying or seeking God or whatever God has for us, for the meeting and for them that will be in the meeting, that will be able to have the right faith for a blessing or to bring deliverance to those that will be coming. I want you to turn over to the book of Romans with me. We've been talking about faith for quite a while. In the 11th chapter of the book of Romans, and we're going to drop over to the 12th probably too. I just want to read a little bit from a passage too. Chapter 11, the first verse, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elijah? How he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars. And I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded, according as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid, but rather through their fall is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentile, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, insomuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them. For if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root be holy, so are the branches. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them and with them, partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God on them which fell severity, but toward thee goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise thou also shall be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature, into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceit. Blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now have obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. all the depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again. For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Now, I want you to notice this. You know, I tonight had in mind to talk to you about the present situation. And the Lord, I felt sure, had in mind for you to hear about the present situation. And as always, in coming to the sacred desk, as a rule, I never know what I'm going to preach, what I'm going to read, or where I'm going to turn my Bible to. It's just been my lot to do that in my ministry. And so then God again turned it right to the place he wanted me to talk to you about, as always. And that is concerning the thing that is happening right now that is about to befall the Jewish people. First of all, I'd like you to notice here in the readings of the scriptures one thing concerning Elijah. I've said this a number of times. Elijah was the great prophet of God in a very crucial moment. A lot of people mock when they talk about Elijah, and they say, well, Elijah thought he was the only prophet. But God rebuked him to his face and let him know that he had more than just Elijah and that he was not the only prophet. And I have a number of times corrected people in their misunderstanding of the scripture, for there is no such teachings as that. God did not correct Elijah in making him to understand that he was, that in that day, not the only prophet, because he was the only prophet that God was using. And the Bible doesn't say anything about God having another prophet. He said, I have 7,000 that has not bowed their knees to Baal. That is, I still have people in the land. I still have them that love Jesus in the land. But it is a true fact that he was God's prophet, and God said nothing to him about having another prophet. Now, God uses Elijah here to show us something concerning Israel, because Elijah was the one that was doing the prophesying of that hour and was in tune with heaven and was the prophetical savior of the moment. The Lord said, I will bring saviors up upon the mount. Saviors in the plural, the Bible uses that. Elijah was a savior. Abraham was a savior. Paul was a savior. And the Bible said God raised up saviors unto Israel. And so it is in the same day as God moves by his Spirit, he is raising up saviors. And the Bible said that the man that converts a soul, let him know that he hath become a savior. Or that is, let him know that he has saved a soul from hell. So then it is a true fact that God has saviors in this day. Whereas in the time past, God spoke to us by the prophets, by the law, and by those things in divers ways at sundry times. In this latter day, he has spoken unto us by his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Whereas we are bone of his bone, and we are flesh of his flesh, and though we be many saviors as the ministry of God, yet we are one Savior, even the Lord Jesus Christ, in the membership of his wonderful body, taking the gospel to the ends of the world. And so then, today, God is speaking through his Son. For the Bible said, it shall not be you that speak, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. God, at sundry times and divers manners, spoken to the people by the prophets, but hath in this latter time said, it is not my ministry speaking, but it is God speaking from within you. Let all the world keep silent, for God is within his temple. And John said, as he saw the revelation of Jesus Christ, he said, I saw the tabernacle of God in the earth. The tabernacle of God, he said, is thus with mankind. And so then tonight, God is in the earth. A lot of people don't understand that God is in the earth. God was in heaven. God has been in heaven, and God is still in heaven. So far as the heavenly, wonderful paradise of his dwelling. But God is in the earth in the sense that God lives in humanity. And God walks in you. And the Bible says that the Holy Ghost dwells in you. And that if any man deny that the Spirit of Christ is living in a human body today, he is, that man is an antichrist. All right, now, I don't want to get excited here and get carried away in the sense that I get to preaching at you and get beside myself in the sense of what I'd like to tell you. I want you to look at some things square in the face tonight. I want you to look at them just as they are tonight. I want Brother Taylor to get his Bible and turn over to Luke 21. And I want you to look at something now. We have made the statement in the past that the end of the world was upon us. We have pointed out step by step, according to the revelation and the present day unfolding of the truth of God, we have pointed out step by step the thing that was taking place to where you could understand. And so then here we are in this hour and in this moment, this great moment of peril and this great moment of conflict of humanity across the world. Jesus gave many signs of his coming. As it was in the days of Noah, he said, all flesh had corrupted its way. Nobody was good but Jesus, and to them that he had made his own body, or give his righteousness to. So then, here we are again in the days of Noah. How are we in the days of Noah? We are in the days of Noah. In the sense that all flesh has corrupted its way. The preachers have gone bad. The deacons have gone bad. The laity has gone bad. The women have gone bad. Mothers, daddies, all of them have gone bad. The children have turned into dope addicts. All of them have become drunkards and harlots and prostitutes and liars and murderers and cheats. And even the preachers of today seek nothing but money and fame and popularity, sporting themselves. Women are the same way. They seek nothing but the lust of the flesh. Mothers, that is. Fathers, the same way, seeking nothing but frolics and the frivolous things of this life. All flesh has corrupted its way before God, just as he said it would be. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. Here we are at the coming of the Son of Man, and the world today is corrupt from one end of the world to the other. I've been all the way from one end to another, and the entire world today is corrupt through all of these lewd ways and means of life. Now, Elijah is speaking of that day to come. And he speaks of the falling away of Israel just prior to that time. Elijah tells us that Israel will reject the Messiah. Come the day of Calvary, Israel will reject the Messiah. And God will conclude Israel in unbelief and put Israel aside and deal with Israel no more for many years to come. But when this takes place, he said, I will send out a great revival throughout the earth. And a great spiritual moving of God shall go through the world. And Gentiles across the world shall be converted. Great miracles and healings and deliverances. And all of these great things of prosperity will sweep over the world because faith will begin to work in the earth. And it will continue until the days that will be likened unto the days of Noah, when men shall again stray away from God, loving this present world better than God, and turning to the iniquities and the corruptions of this life. And so then we see this hour here, and we see the time that Elijah spoke of. Israel left God. Israel was rejected of God. Israel went out of the presence of God. Now, Paul, preaching to the Gentiles, he said to you and I, and he said to the Gentiles of his day, he said, don't go get overconfident because you are a Gentile and I tell you that God has come to you. He said, because Israel is still God's people too. Don't lift yourself up and don't magnify yourself feeling that you're special and count the Jews as being nothing because you feel that you are a Christian or a religious world. He said, because the Jews are God's elect. They are God's elect, not just any Jewish person. For in reality, there's no Jew. The Bible said, he that is a Jew outwardly is not a Jew, but he that is a Jew inwardly is a Jew. But in the sense of Jacob, who was the Israelite father of the Israelite nations. Well, that is, God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Having changed his name to Israel, he brought forth the 12 sons, which was called the children of Israel, or the Israelite people. And so then Jacob is the apple of God's eye. And the Bible teaches that when God rejected the Jews, as we refer to them, or rejected Israel, that he turned to the Gentile people. And down through the church ages, he's been dealing with the Gentile people. And even today, God is still, through revival, dealing with the Gentile people. But we have at last come down to the end of the road. The Gentile people don't like to admit that, but the Gentile people have become nothing more than dogs in the sight of God. They have turned to every way of life that's a base, down to the very wallowing in the mire and going back to the licking of the vomit. They have gone out of their way to do evil and to be conniving and be contrary to the virtues and righteousness of Almighty God. And so then they have filled their cup as the Egyptians did to the full. And God is on the verge of rejecting them. Now we made the statement that when this thing happened over in Syria concerning the prisoners, that it had a great spiritual meaning. And that in this great spiritual thing, that out of there would come the Antichrist, that Russia would move in for the purpose of taking control of the oil fields of the world, working through Egypt because of that benefit, and then working through Syria, moving down into the Persian Gulf to make a way to where they could get over to Israel whenever they got ready to destroy Israel. But the Bible said, in that day, an evil thought shall come into the mind of Gog and Magog, which is Russia. The descendants, you'll find if you go back and check Ham, Shem, and Japheth, you'll find out that they are of the descendants on the evil side, and that they are Gog and Magog that the Bible speaks of. They come from the seed there of Noah, and yet it comes through one of the three sons. Each one of them we brought out as to what their lineage was and what it and which way it went in the earth and what it was to bring forth in the end time as a seed that would produce after its kind. And so then these people that are called Gog and Magog, the Bible says in the latter days that an evil thought shall come into their mind, and they shall say one to another, come, let us go up unto the city of unfenced walls, and let us take for ourselves a spoil. Let us go up against Israel. And you know, while we were over there in Israel, we stood down the mountainside, looked down through that valley where God said it would flow with blood up to the horse's bridle, and it's referred to as the breadbasket of the world. For miles and miles there's plains across that valley. And there he said it would literally be filled with blood until it come up to the horse's bridle. Right on the edge of that valley is a great community. This community was pointed out to us by our guide while we were in Israel. And that community is a Russian community. Those people are right there on the borderline of this great valley. And all they've got to do is just rise up when Russia gets ready, move right in on Israel. And the Bible teaches that they're going to do that. So then we said this is the beginning of the end of the world when the Syrian crisis set in. Now, I want you to notice this. It has just been in the last few days that Israel took American planes, went forth over into a little country, there a little place called Iraq, into this area. Israel, just a little tiny spot on the map in comparison to this big place. Probably 25 times as big as Israel is, I would say. But in boldness, like a little ant on a bumblebee, they went forth with American planes and they blowed up this missile site, or this nuclear base it was. They say that these people were plotting against them, and that these people had made the statement that they were going to destroy Israel just as quick as this plant was completed. I understand that this plant was to be completed within about a week or so, just not too far away. Israel, knowing the danger, they went in and planned it so well that no one, I understand, that is, a great majority of people in any manner was seriously hurt from it. But the plant was destroyed. Now, I don't know the details of it. I'm just relating what I understand of it. Some of it could be different. But here's what I'm saying. They did this. And when they did this, I told the brethren, I said, that's the end of the world. I said, that's exactly the way it was supposed to come about. And I had told the brethren here a long time back, I said, brethren, if you watch, America will turn against Israel. I said, America has never turned against Israel before. And God has allowed America to continue on. But the Bible said, he that toucheth Jacob shall touch the apple of mine eye. And I said, and they will turn against Israel. And when they do, it will be the end of the world. And so then, Israel went in and done this, and I told the brethren the other night, I said, you can be sure of one thing. America's going to be upset over this, and they're going to get on Israel back because of this. Whereas somebody sitting there said, I'll guarantee you they won't do it. I'll make you a bet that they won't do it. I said, you just keep your money. The Word of God shows me they will do it. They will do it. And it was just in the next day that they announced over the radios, they said that America was upset with Israel. The UN was upset with Israel. And they are charging Israel in an act of aggression. Whereas they had given Israel the planes for protection, in defense, they took those things and in aggression attacked it, another country. It has put America in a bad light. I said, you will see that America will have to get upset with Israel, because if America doesn't get upset with Israel and favors Israel during the time of this happening, all of the nations of the world will be wroth with America, thinking that she is behind this thing or having part in this thing in excusing Israel. I said, she will be forced to do this thing for her own self-respect and protection. And so it is. It happened just exactly that way. Now, if you'll notice, if you'll turn over to the book of Luke, about the 21st chapter. Your brother Taylor looked down there, I don't remember just what verse, maybe around the 20th verse or somewhere down there, just check it out. But you'll find out that what I told the brethren the other night holds true. I said, brethren, this is the end of the world. I said, it will cause all nations to get upset at Israel. I said, and the Bible says, when you see the cities of Jerusalem compassed with armies or compassed about, know that the desolation thereof is nigh. It is the hour when all things that are written shall be fulfilled. Now, in this, in the book of Luke, if Brother Taylor's got it, I'd like for him to step over here nearby where I'm at. And I want you to listen as he reads this, two or three verses here, that we might have a confirmation that what I'm telling you is the Bible, and it is the truth.
And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled.
Okay, now you can see this in the scripture. When all of the nations become wroth with Israel, I say this, that Israel is not an aggressor, because they threaten to destroy Israel, and it's the same as if a man was sitting across the street, putting the ammunition in the barrel of a gun, going to blow your brains out with it. Israel was not an aggressor. She was only defending her poor little country, as you would say. Just a little spot on the map, and God will stand with Israel because of the threats that was against Israel. But if you look at it from a political perspective, it was absolutely an act of aggression. There's no way to get around it. And it has put America on the spot. But I'm saying that to say this, that we are in the end of the world. When all nations come against Israel, it will bring forth a union, a great union of armies, and a great united power. Every nation in the world will do it against Israel. You know why? Because Israel is the head of the nations. And because Israel is the head of the nations, all the rest of them have to gather to the head. From every place in the world, all of them has to be drawn to the head. Israel being the head of the nation, God tells us in Deuteronomy, I'll make you the head, when he spoke to Israel, if you'll do what I tell you. But Israel rejected God. He said, thou shalt be the tail thereof. And then when Israel was to repent, they were to become the head. And so then, being the head of the nations, then Jesus himself, being the very capstone or the head of Israel, when the nations gather to Israel, then Israel will gather to Jesus. Israel is not going to seek Jesus until these great armies and powers come into her city and literally raffle the city, ravish the women, and drive them out into the mountains and drive them out of their holy place into those places to where the wild animals dwell, just as it did Jesus in the day when he went into his fasting. Going into the wilderness of the land of Judea, going into the mountains, and Jesus said, pray that in that day that your flight be not in the winter. Pray that it'll be a real good time of the year, because if you've got children, especially them that give suck, that's got little babies, it's going to be a horrible situation. Pray for the right season for this thing to strike you. Jesus said, because it's going to happen, and I'm going to put Jacob through the fire. And brother, because Israel has been haughty, and because these things have happened, God is going to purge Israel as the nation first. Hallelujah. God has already purged the Christian, and God has purged us, and God has opened our eyes, and God has given us the Holy Spirit, and God has sealed us in. Hallelujah. His Spirit abides within us, and we're filled with the Holy Ghost. And here we are tonight with the glories of God and the infilling of the great, wonderful Spirit of God, and God sealing in his bride. Then the days of the Gentiles being fulfilled, he said, think not that God has cast Israel away, but when the days of the Gentiles are finished, I then will bring Israel. God said, Abraham, said, let me tell you this, Abraham, said, just be patient. Your seed will sojourn in bondage for 400 years. And after this, the iniquity of the Egyptians shall be filled up, and I will bring them out with a mighty hand. I will send them a deliverer and a savior, and I will bring them out with a mighty hand. And he said, Israel, I will turn again to you. I will turn again to Israel. And in the days of the fulfillment of the Gentiles, and brothers and sisters, I've been preaching to you that the revelation of Jesus Christ showed that that moment was at hand. And here we are, and the thing is fulfilling. And here is the moment of that great crisis right upon us right now. So then when we look at this and see this thing happening, we know that something is in the making for Israel. For it is when all of this oppression, all of this weight, all of this sorrow, all of this evil comes upon Israel, it is in that hour that Israel is going to look for a help. Israel is going to seek a Savior. Israel is going to say, where's Moses? Where's Elijah? And they're not going to come. They're not going to come. They're going to cry for them. But there's going to come forth one with the nail-riven hands, and then will come a Elijah, and then will come Moses, and they will say, this is the Messiah, hear ye him. This is my beloved son. And they will say, Master, where did you get those nails? He'll say, I got them in the house of my friends. And the Bible said, a nation shall be born in one day. One day all of Israel will mourn. Oh, how they'll weep, how they'll cry, and how they'll say, my brother, my Lord, my Savior. And they'll plead, and the mighty power and strength of Jacob will come. For in that hour when they convert to Christianity, and they turn as Christ followers, and they turn to Jesus, he will become the great capstone leader of Israel. And in that moment, God will raise up the greatest army that's ever moved across the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Nothing will be able to stand before them. What an exciting moment. And brother, sister, let me tell you, here we are, we're fighting devils and demons. We're that spiritual Jew or that spiritual Israel. And we're fighting every day and conquering. But I want you to know, when them boys come, they'll bathe their sword in human blood. It will be man to man. It will be woman to woman. It will be person to person. And the blood will run to the horse's bridle. And Jesus will be leading the way. Hallelujah. Jesus will be leading the way, and the Antichrist will have gathered all the armies of the world, gathering them together in one army to come against Jesus and his little army. But Gideon with his faithful few will literally wipe the earth clean. Hallelujah. And all the glory will go to God. You know, we sing that song and we'll give the glory to Jesus. Sing about his love. Hallelujah. And that great final moment is here upon us. So then I said that to say this. Just getting a little excited over it, but I said that to say this, that right at this moment, Christian friend, this thing that's happened to Israel is the beginning. It's time for the tribulation to come on. Everything is set for it now. And that means the church has got to get out of here. The church is being sealed with the revelation of Jesus Christ. And just like going over here to this Olive Branch Mississippi meeting. See, in that day the branch of the Lord shall be beautiful. And he shall set his foot upon the Mount of Olives, and they shall cleave in halves. And we spoke about this meeting even before this aggression of Israel. How that it had to do with Jesus returning and setting his foot upon the Mount of Olives to judge the world. And brother and sister, let me tell you that if this is the finishing up of it over here, of the days of the Gentiles, to show the type and to show the thing concerning the spiritual Jew, that Christ will fight for his people, then it means that the tribulation period or the desolation thereof is ready to set in. There's something just about ready to happen. And with this, somewhere in the shadows, there's Moses and Elijah waiting. They're waiting. Somebody would say, well, where are they, Brother Pike? They're in glory with Jesus. And the Bible said they appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration with him in glory. By that same Moses and that same Elijah walked down from the mounts of heaven and from glory and walked through the valleys, glory to God, over there and say, this is him, hear ye him. Hallelujah. And like the mother said, whatever he tells you, you do it. You do it. So then we see this exciting moment. We're here. You're here. All of us is here. Hallelujah. All of us is glorious sons and daughters of Jesus. We've talked about this day. We prayed about this day. We've told people that this day was coming. Now's the time for our shouting. Now's the time for our victory. But the Bible said the saints of God shall rise and take the world. All of the kings of this world shall become the kings of our God. For the accuser of the brethren that accuse them night and day before God is cast out. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for he is among you. But ye that dwell in heaven, rejoice, 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 hallelujah, rejoice. What a wonderful thrilling moment. by this great, wonderful, moving, motivating of the Spirit of God is in the midst of the church. And the strength shall come to Zion. When the Bible said that the cues will be cast out, now has come strength. Now has come power. Now has come this great, wonderful promise that God gave us. What a wonderful thought. Praise God. I want you to stand with me. You know, I'm just getting to the point right here where we could preach tonight. But I want you to think on this, just a little exhortation concerning this thing tonight. And I want you to pray for this meeting. It's coming up in Olive Branch. And I want you to realize that this is the moment, the great victory. Elijah! Oh, hallelujah, that rings in my head. Elijah! I've got 7,000, hallelujah. They're ready for battle. They've never bowed their knees to bow. All clean and holy and ready to go. Any moment, just sound the trumpet. They'll go. I've got them, had them all the time. Praise God. Had them in training. Just had them in hiding. The world didn't see them, but they've been there all the time. Get your armor bearer. Get your sword. Wet your sword. And the Bible said, cursed is the man that holdeth back that sword from blood. Take that sword and dip it in the blood. Don't hold it back. Don't be wrong. Don't be hypocritical. Dip it in the blood of them that reject the word of God. Them that are contrary to the kingdom of God. And go forth. Be a real child of God. Be a real soldier. Don't look back into Egypt. Brother, this is the great, wonderful hour. Remember Lot's wife. She looked back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Isn't that right? Don't look back. Don't look back. If you look back, it'll be bad for you. It'll be bad for you. Glory to God. Let's just go forward in Jesus' name. All right? Let's sing this little chorus together. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love. Can you lift your hands up? Oh, we'll give all the glory to our Savior. We'll sing about His love. Oh, we'll sing about His love. And we'll give all the glory to our Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonder. Full of, isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah. And we'll enter His gates with thanksgiving in our hearts. And we'll enter His courts with praise. And we'll say, this is that day that the Lord hath made. And we will rejoice, for He hath made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. We will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Jesus made us glad. We will rejoice, for He hath made us glad. Sing it again. I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart, and I'll enter His courts with praise. And we'll say, this is that day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, He hath made us glad. Oh, how Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. One more time. We will enter these gates with thanksgiving in the heart, and we'll enter his courts with praise. And we'll say, this is that day that the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. And we will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. Yes, Jesus made us glad. We will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Can you say hallelujah? Can you say, Jesus, you made me glad? Hallelujah. Can you say, Jesus, that you made me glad? Hallelujah. Can't help but get excited. I say a lot of times, I say, I ain't going to get excited. Brother Pike, you ain't going to get excited. But I can't help but get excited. Every time I think about eternity and eternal life and these wonderful things, I get beside myself in spite of all I can do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a fool for Christ. I'm a fool for Christ. The world might as well deceive me because I'm a fool for Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Let's just lift our hands up together and worship the Lord. Can you do that? Father of heaven, in the name of Jesus tonight, I want you to heal tonight. I feel the great, mighty healing power of God. Father, heal tonight. Stretch out your healing hand, my Father. Move out over the audience and heal in the name of Jesus. God, break every yoke. Father, take away every bond. Oh, Lord, give peace of heart and peace of mind. Those that are troubled, Jesus. My God, let them feel your presence, Jesus. Lord, wherever they're at tonight in the world, wherever they're at, Father, along the highways, Father, wherever they're at in the fields of labor and adventure, God, Lord, wherever they're at in the offices, wherever they're at in the world today, let them feel this great, wonderful presence of my Jesus, this moving of the Spirit, this wonderful consolation of the Almighty God to heal. Father, in that day there shall be no healing medicine, and no man shall save them, no orator, no great leader, no president, no senator, Father, no preacher, no one but Jesus. You can do it. You can do it. You're doing it. Heal and save and forgive. And be with us in the lovely name, Father, of your wonderful Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. We just got to sing it some one more time. That's all it's trying to feel it. One more time. I will enter his gate with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with praise. And I'll say, this is that day that my Lord hath made, and I will rejoice, for Jesus made me glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Oh, Jesus made us glad. Oh, he hath made us glad. And I will rejoice, for Jesus made us glad. Don't you just love him tonight? Oh, hallelujah. I feel the love of God. I feel the wonderful blessing of God. I feel the moving and wooing of the Spirit tonight. The end of the world has come. Let's just get in tight. Let's press in together. Let's love one another. Let's tell the truth in every way. Hallelujah. And take all the shadows out of the corners of our life. And let's be a unit for God. And let's publish the gospel throughout the world just as much as we possibly can in the last remaining moments. And the Bible says, he that I so find doing, that is the servant, my servant in the earth, feeding my people, I'll make him ruler over all that I've got. So let's be found doing that, brother. Let's be found doing that, sister. Hallelujah. I want Brother Al to come, if he will. Brother Gonzalez, will you come? Brother Al just come in from Mexico. He's ministered for us one time since he's been here. He's been back for a few days. A wonderful thing is going on down there, even though communism has taken over. And it's such a wonderful, thrilling moment. My, everywhere in the earth is such a great moment of inspiration. Great expectancy. Great things is happening all over the world. A flame burning like a fire. Hallelujah. I'll make my ministers a flame of fire. And that great flame of God, like that flaming chariot of Elijah, just took him away like that. That great, wonderful, burning ego of God. Hallelujah. Praise God, like that flaming cherub at that gate with that flaming sword. Hallelujah. What a wonderful thought.